All right, let's go to Nahum chapter 3. And you know, I want to begin this message by saying that I don't claim to be a farmer, okay? Now, listen, how many of you are farmers? Oh my. How many of you have a garden? I'm not going to look for a sack of vegetables on my desk, I'll tell you that much. Because there ain't many farmers in here this morning. I'm not a farmer. I'm a city boy, and I admit it. All right. I was raised up in the city, Cape Girardeau, Missouri, about 35,000 people there on the Mississippi River. I was raised up in the city, moved to Jacksonville, Florida, lived there for 4 years for Bible college, came to Daytona. I'm a city boy, let me tell you. But once a year, we would always go to my grandparents, and they lived out in the sticks of Louisiana. And they had cows and chickens, and my grandma would let me go out and get the eggs in the morning. And they had a big, humongous garden and crops and all that kind of stuff. And you know, I'm not a farmer. I'm really not. But there is one thing I know about planting crops and planting seeds, and that's this. You can only harvest what you plant. You can only harvest what you plant. Hey, folks, I cannot plant okra and expect to get green peas. Amen. I cannot plant and grow an apple tree and expect to get Florida oranges. It's just not going to happen. Listen, you reap what you sow. Good, into the ground. Whatever you sow into the ground, that's what you're going to reap. Well, did you know there is a spiritual law of reaping and sowing? It's in your handout. I want you to look at the top. Paul writes to the church and says in Galatians 6, 7, and 8, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also what? Reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." You know, there are people today that believe that they can prove God's law of sowing and reaping wrong. But God says he will not be mocked. That simply means that you're not going to make a fool out of God. You're not going to pull one over on God. You may pull one over on your spouse. You may be able to fool your kids. Your kids may be able to fool you. I tell my kids all the time. I've got three boys. I tell them all the time, you can't fool me. You can't fool me. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're doing. I know what you're up to. Well, how do you always know, Dad? Because I used to do all that stuff. I was a little boy, and I did it. And so I say, you can't. Well, truth is, I guess they can't fool me because I'm human. But you know what? Here's the thing. Your kids may be able to pull one over on you. And you may be able to pull one over on them or on your spouse or on the boss at work. But here's the deal. Guess what? We're not going to mock God. You're not going to fool God. You're not going to pull one over on him. God says, don't be deceived. Don't be self-deluded into thinking you can mock God. You can't. Well, the mighty Assyrian city of Nineveh learned that truth many years ago. Bring the map back up. I've been showing you this each week. It's my third message out of Nahum. Nineveh was situated right here on the Tigris River. It was the capital city of the mighty Assyrian Empire. It was a city of wealth. It was a city of power. They dominated. Nineveh dominated the world at that time through its brute strength and violence and utter brutality. They thought they were invincible. They were arrogant. They were prideful. They were full of themselves. They really thought they could mock God. They thought they could prove God wrong. But, okay, Nahum comes along. That's what this little book's all about. Nahum comes along and says, hey, guess what? Payday is going to come for you, Nineveh. The day of harvest is going to finally come for all the wicked sins that you have sown. And that's what this little book's all about. Nahum is basically going to the Assyrian city of Nineveh, and he's saying, payday's coming. Harvest day is around the corner, Nineveh. And there are three vital aspects to God's law of sowing and reaping that every person needs to understand. And we see them vividly depicted for us in this chapter 3 of Nahum. And here's the three principles. Let me give them to you. Number one in your handout is that, here we go, you ready? Let's bring it up. You always reap what you sow. You always reap what you sow. And in your handout, it says very simply put, What you plant, you will harvest. What you plant, you will harvest. That's the law of sowing and reaping. It's like this, okay? Now, stay with me, and I'm going to ask you a question, and I want to get an answer. You ready? Now, listen carefully to this question. If I plant watermelon seeds, what can I expect to harvest? Man, we got a bright bunch here. We're a notch above the average church, amen? If I plant cucumber seeds, what can I expect to get? Harvest cucumbers. If I plant okra seeds. Now, see, a bunch of you northerners don't know what okra is. I'm amazed at how many people have never had okra. We'll have folks over to the house. Denise will make up a big old mess of okra. And they're like, what is that? How many of you have never had okra? Be honest. Raise your hand. Never eaten okra. Oh, my soul. Brother Larry, next Sunday is going to be Okra Sunday. It's God's gift to mankind, folks. If I plant okra seeds, all right, what can I expect to get? Okra. And my wife's going to take that okra in. She's going to slice it up. She's going to roll it in cornmeal and pan fry it. Amen? Yeah. Now go back up to the top of your handout. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. And then what's it say? For what? Whatsoever. That, in other words, you know what that means when it says whatsoever a man soweth? What that means is that you've got the freedom to make choices. Say that again. You have the freedom to make some choices in your life. Every day you choose what seeds you're going to plant, so to speak. Every day you wake up, God gives you the freedom and the free will to make some choices about what you're going to sow. The decisions you're going to make. Every day God gives you that freedom, but He warns you. He says, look, you got the freedom whatsoever. Whatever it is you want to sow, go ahead and do it. But know this, whatever it is you sow, look at the verse. What does it say? That, whatever it is you planted, that shall He also, what? Reap. Now look, Nineveh learned that truth many years ago. Look at verse 1. Let's look at the seeds Nineveh chose to sow. Verse 1. Woe to the bloody city. It's all full of lies and robbery, and the prey departeth not. Verse 3. The horseman lifteth up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there's a multitude of slain. These people were violent. A great number of carcasses, and there's none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses. Just violence. Utter brutality. Verse 4. Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, that's what he calls Nineveh, the mistress of witchcrafts that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. You know what? How God pictures this city? They have sown the seeds of violence, robbery, deception, sorcery, murder, utter brutality against other nations. You get the picture in verse 4 where it says it's the mistress of witchcrafts. You get the idea this is a city that is completely sold out to the satanic policy of evil. And in 612 BC, Nineveh's harvest day would finally come. The day of reaping would finally come. You've heard me tell it the last couple of weeks. The Tigris River overflowed. Part of the wall was knocked down. The Babylonian armies were able to penetrate through the wall. They came into the city very suddenly, and they completely sacked and plundered and destroyed this mighty city. They burned it to the ground and basically wiped it off the map. And God said, He warned them before it did it, God said, what you've done to other cities, the seeds you've sown, you're going to reap. What you've done to other cities is going to be done to you, only in a greater aspect. Look with me down at verse 8, and He gives an illustration. He says in verse 8, art thou better than populous? No. You say, what's that all about? It was a city called No. It was the Egyptian royal city, the capital of Egypt. Mighty city, wealthy city, powerful city. The mighty Assyrian war machine went into Egypt and it just sacked and plundered and destroyed the city of No. Doesn't that name tickle you? How would you like to live in a city called No? Where do you live? No. No, where do you live? No. So you don't live anywhere? No. Well, then where do you live? No.
That's my Abbott and Costello routine for the day. All right. Verse 10. Verse 10. Look what happened to Noah. It said, yet, okay, now notice he says in verse 8, art thou better than populous Noah that was situate among the rivers, that had the waters round about it. This Egyptian royal city was like Nineveh. It had these natural barriers of water around it. It looked invincible. Verse 10, yet was she carried away. She went into captivity. Her young children also were dashed in pieces at the top of all the streets. And they cast lots for her honorable men. And all her great men were bound in chains. You see, that's what the Assyrians did to this city. That's what Nineveh did to Noah. He said, hey, Nineveh, what you did to Noah, he said, you are going to reap that back and it's going to happen to you. Look at verse 13. Behold, thy people in the midst of thee are women, he tells Nineveh. It's all that's left. The gates of thy land shall be set wide open unto thine enemies. The fire shall devour thy bars. Verse 18. Thy shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Thy nobles shall dwell in the dust. Thy people are scattered on the mountains. Verse 19. There's no healing of thy bruise. Thy wound is grievous. All that hear the bruit of thee shall clap the hands over thee. They're going to be all happy. For upon whom hath not thy wickedness passed continually? This city of Nineveh lied. They robbed. They used violence to take wealth from other nations. And Nahum says, let me warn you, harvest day is coming. And your wealth's going to be carried away in violent fashion. It's going to be gone in a flash. And he says, because of your meanness and because of your cruelty to other nations, when your day of harvest comes, there's not going to be any comforters there to assist you. There's not going to be any other nations that are going to come to your defense. They're going to clap the hands over you that you have been under destruction. Now, what's the lesson here that we can learn? Well, here's the lesson. We cannot sow the seeds of sin and wickedness and then expect to reap this wonderful, good, blessed harvest. It simply isn't going to happen. Teenagers, listen to me. Now, look in your handout at Hosea 10:13. God told Israel, who was sowing bad seeds, he said to Israel, you have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You've eaten the fruit of lies because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Israel said, we think our way is better, God. They thought they could mock God. God said, no. You've plowed wickedness. You're going to reap iniquity. You're going to eat the fruit of all the lies that you have believed and told. So what's the point, church? In your handout, here's the point. In a nutshell, our choices have consequences. Our choices have consequences. Look with me up at the top of your handout. Go back up to Galatians 6, verse 8. Go to the second verse there. Now look what God says. For he that soweth to his flesh. What does that mean? That means you're just going to do whatever feels good. Right? Whatever feels good, whatever feels right, whatever you feel like doing, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to gratify my flesh. Okay, you can do that. You can sow those seeds. But look what the Bible says. If you're going to sow to the flesh, you're going to of the flesh reap, say it with me, corruption. Nothing good can come out of it. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Life everlasting. Don't think you can go out and be dishonest, immoral, ungodly, selfish, deceptive, and then never reap from those bad seeds. Remember, what's the first principle in your handout? Come on, it's in bold. You always reap what? What you sow. Just like Nineveh, when you build your life on all the wrong things. Now hear me, teenagers. When you build your life on all the wrong things, with little regard for God, little regard for others, little regard for His Word, then loneliness and misery are the result. Nineveh didn't have a friend to come to its aid when harvest day came. You reap what you sow. You've got freedom to make choices, but there's consequences to the choices. You reap what you sow. Number two, though, let me give you the second principle, and that is this. You always reap more than you sow. You always reap more than you sow. Now, just to kind of give you another agricultural illustration here, the farmer
always gets more than he plants. When a farmer, for instance, I'll bring up a picture here of some corn. When a farmer plants that seed of corn in the ground, he gets a return on that seed that is greater than the original investment. He gets back the original investment of the seed, but he gets it with interest. For instance, those little tiny seeds that you sow into the ground, they end up producing a stalk with several ears of corn, and on each ear are, you know, you've got hundreds of kernels. So from one seed, the size of a little corn kernel, it yields hundreds and hundreds of kernels on multiple ears of corn. What's the principle? The principle is this. In the law of sowing and reaping, you always reap more than you sow. In your handout is a great statement. It's there at the bottom. It says, you sow a seed and you reap a harvest. That's the principle. You reap more than you sow. Sow a seed, reap a harvest. How many of you ever heard the expression, boy, he got more than he bargained for? Well, turn your handout over. That's what happened to wicked Israel. God told him in Hosea 8:7, he said of wicked Israel, for they have sown the wind and they shall reap the what? Whirlwind. Now, you say, what about Nineveh? Well, when Nineveh's day of harvest finally came, the Bible says it was completely laid waste. Look with me at verse 6, Nahum 3:6. And God said, I will cast abominable filth upon thee and make thee vile, and will set thee as a gazing stock. Verse 7, and it shall come to pass, look at this, that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comforters for her? Nineveh was literally buried and never heard from again. Now, there were some cities that Nineveh had destroyed that were just plundered, or they'd go in and take their wealth and leave the people, or they may go in and tax them, or they may go in there and just, you know, maybe slaughter some of the men but leave the women and children. There may be some cities that they kind of destroyed, but they rebuilt the cities. This city got more than it sowed. This city was so destroyed. You remember I told you this? That they could not find any archaeological remains of this city until 1845. Over 2,500 years, this city was destroyed, laid waste, buried alive, and never heard from again. Who would have thought it? This mighty city, Nineveh, the capital of the world empire, mighty, wealthy, powerful, a military machine. But yet here Nineveh was buried and never heard from again. You know, it kind of reminds me of something. Reminds me of when Satan comes to us and says, well, it's just a little sin. It's no big deal. Nobody will ever know. You deserve it. It's not a big deal. Everybody does it. And Satan always minimizes the sin before you commit it. Have you ever noticed that? Now, you think back to your life. Think about when you're tempted to sin. Satan convinces us it's just a little sin. And that really it's not a big deal at all. He minimizes it, doesn't he? What does he do after you commit it? Maximizes it. After you commit the sin, then all of a sudden, that little sin is used to bring major guilt and condemnation and destruction into your life. Why? Because Jesus said Satan is a liar and he's the father of lies. He wants to sift you as wheat. You know what illustration comes to my mind? King David. King David was the king of God's people Israel. He fought and he slew Goliath, the giant. David was a man, the Bible says, that was after God's own heart. But yet when David got older, I guess he thought he could mock God. I guess he thought, man, I'm in so good with God that it really doesn't matter. I'm the king. I can do what I want to do. David thought he could mock God's principles. And so David ended up committing adultery with a young lady by the name of Bathsheba. And David, when he chose to sow that seed, he could never have imagined the harvest that it would end up bringing. He could have never imagined the humiliation, the grief, the pain, the loss of life, the family turmoil. You just read the life of David.
And see what happens after he chose to sow that seed. You see, when you're out there making daily choices and decisions, teenagers, when you're at school, you're making choices on a daily basis. I want you to remember God's law of sowing and reaping. And that is, you always reap what you sow, but you always end up reaping more than you sow. And then the last principle is this. You always reap later than you sow. You always reap later than you sow. How many teenagers went out and committed an adultery, or I mean they commit a sexual act, and nothing happens, no judgment comes, nobody finds out, their parents don't know, Brother Rob doesn't know, the pastor doesn't know, nobody knows. Then 3 years later, they go to get married and find a sexually transmitted disease in their blood. You reap later than you sow. When a farmer goes out and he sows in the ground and he sows those seeds, and he goes out, he goes inside, he eats supper, then does he come back out and reap the harvest? Does he sow the seed and then go out that night and reap it? Does he do it the next day? Next week? No. He always reaps what? Later than he sows. Did you know God's law of sowing and reaping works the same way? In your handout, the next verse in Galatians 6 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in..." And what's the bold word? Say it with me. What does that infer? A later time. In due season, we shall what? Reap. If we faint not. You see, the reaping comes later. You reap later. Nineveh was a city. Many of you associate Nineveh with Jonah. Jonah went and preached about the living God, and Nineveh repented under the preaching of Jonah. But guess what? This is 100 years later since the revival under Jonah, and they had forsaken God. They were totally given over and sowing the seeds of idolatry and wickedness. And I guess they thought they could mock God. I guess they thought God was helpless to do anything. I guess they thought they were bigger than God now. I guess they thought they were invincible. They thought they were getting away with their sin and their wickedness. Because they were going on and on and on in wickedness year after year after year. And no apparent judgment. God was silent. God must not notice. God doesn't care. God doesn't see. Doesn't matter. And in your handout it says, For years Nineveh had planted the seeds of wickedness, and they thought that harvest day would never come. They thought it would never come. But the day of reaping did finally come. Harvest day came, just as Nahum warned them that it was going to come. And he said down in verse 13, if you look at it with me, verse 11, "Thou also shalt be drunken, thou shalt be hid, thou also shalt seek strength because of the enemy." Now look at this. "All thy strongholds shall be like fig trees with the first ripe figs. If they be shaken, they shall even fall into the mouth of the eater." God says, when judgment day comes, Nineveh, when your day of harvest comes, when the day of harvest comes, it'll be like a fig tree. You just shake that fig tree with the first ripe figs, and those figs just fall into the mouth of people. He said, you're going to be like that fig tree. I'm going to shake you. And he said, you're going to be like those figs. You're just going to fall into the teeth of the enemy. In your handout, it says, remember, harvest day usually doesn't come right away. Harvest day doesn't usually come right away. Now, that principle works positively and it works negatively. I want to show you a verse that Paul wrote. If you'll look up on the screen for me here, look with me at 1 Timothy chapter number 5. "Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment." In other words, some men, they sin and judgment comes. But he says some men, they follow after. The judgment comes later. He said, likewise, it also works positively. Likewise, also, the good works of some are manifest beforehand. They're manifest. They're seen. Everybody sees and recognizes it. Whoa, man, that was great. Look what he did. And they that are otherwise cannot be hid. In other words, there's some good works that aren't seen. Nobody sees it but God. But the Bible says that one day Christ will reward us openly for those things. The Bible says this. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But, he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. You see, the idea here is that harvest day doesn't come right away. Many times you reap later than you sow. And in your handout, it says, because people are not judged immediately, they mistakenly think God doesn't see, or they think God doesn't care. And in your handout, there's a verse, Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11. It says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. In other words, because you commit an evil act and judgment doesn't come right away. Look what it says. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Well, I did that and got away with it. Nothing happened. I think I'll do it again. Well, I did it. Nothing happened. I think I'll do it again. And the Bible says because judgment doesn't come right away, remember harvest day never does, then he says people think they're getting away with it and their heart is fully set in them to do evil. They think there won't be any repercussions. There's no consequences. Now, let me say this to you. Is God a just God? Yes or no? Does God have to judge sin? Yes or no? He has to judge sin or he wouldn't be a righteous God. But you know what God does? God in His mercy will withhold immediate judgment. And you know why He withholds judgment? And we learned this in the book of Nahum. God will withhold immediate judgment. You know why? Because He's hopeful that man will repent and turn to Him. He gives people space to turn and repent. You know, sometimes Denise and I will be watching our boys out the front window of our house and they don't know we're watching them out there. And we'll just kind of be watching them out the front window playing with the neighborhood kids and they'll do something naughty. And you know what we do though? A lot of times what we'll do is we'll just kind of wait and see if they're going to repent and turn from that foolishness. And if they turn from it, that's great. If they don't, well, then judgment day comes. Amen. But on a much bigger scale, that's just a little illustration. On a much bigger scale, God withholds immediate judgment from people in hopes that they will repent and turn to Him. And today we live in a time of grace in which God is withholding judgment against sin. And He's offering grace and peace to those in the world. And you know what? He's offering us grace and peace on the basis of His Son's finished work on the cross. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, God says, I want grace. I want to give you grace. I want peace with you. I want to be able to forgive you of your sins. And I even have a just basis on which I can forgive you your sins. And that's my Son's death on the cross for you. But one day that grace period will end. God's wrath will be poured out against sin. And it'll come swiftly, it'll come suddenly on this world, just like Nineveh. You say, what's the point? The point is, my friend, can I implore you, turn to Jesus Christ right now. Turn to Christ now before it's too late. I don't want you to leave this building and get the idea, the false idea because of the idea of sowing and reaping. I don't want you to get the false idea that, well, if I do enough good things, if I sow enough good deeds, I'll get to go to heaven. And if I don't, I won't. That's not at all what I'm saying. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is this. There's consequences for our actions. After you get saved, there are consequences for your actions. Now, we don't always see them right away because we reap later than we sow. Okay? But Jesus Christ made a full and complete sacrifice for sins on the cross. And if you will put your faith in Jesus Christ, the issue of your eternal salvation can be settled in a moment. And that's by believing on Christ. Once you are saved and you become God's child, Paul warns us that, look, you got a choice now. Sow to the flesh or sow to the spirit. Every day you make that choice, Christian. I'm going to either sow to my flesh or I'm going to sow to the spirit. I'm either going to sow to the flesh and do what I want to do, or I'm going to sow to the spirit and do what God would have me to do through His Word. And are there consequences? Yes or no? There's consequences. You reap. What was the principle? You reap. Let's do this. Everybody get your hand out. What was the first principle? Say it with me. You reap what you sow. Number two, what is it? You reap. You always reap more than you sow. Number three, you always reap later than you sow. And at the bottom of your handout, it says one day each and every person will stand before God and give an account for their personal life. And the bottom line is this: the day of harvest will come. What kind of seeds have you been planting? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. The day of harvest will come. What kind of seeds have you been planting? With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed. How many of you would say, Pastor Dan, I know that if I died today, I know that I would go to heaven. I'm 100% sure. I know I've been saved and I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you lift your hand up if you know that for sure? You can put your hands down. Is there anybody who would say, Pastor Dan, I am not for sure that if I died today, I go to heaven. I'm not 100% sure that I know that if I died today, I go to heaven. Pastor Dan, pray for me. Would you lift your hand up right now? I'm just not sure. Thank you. Anyone else? Put it right back down. I'm not sure if I died today, I go to heaven. Just lift it up. Thank you. Anyone else? Put it right back down. Lift it up. Put it right back down. I'm not sure if I died today, I go to heaven. Pray for me. Anybody else? Just lift it up and put it right back down. Anybody else? Before I pray. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Lord, this little book of Nahum is quite a book. And Lord, it's very instructive. It teaches us a lot. We can learn a lot from Nineveh and their mistakes. And Lord God, I pray, Father, that, Lord God, that we will learn this principle of sowing and reaping, Lord, that we've learned today. We'll take it home with us this week. And we'll digest it, think about it. And Lord, as we make daily choices and daily decisions, may we remember this principle that we've learned. That we reap what we sow, we reap more than we sow, and we reap later than we sow. And Lord, we just pray, God, that we'll remember this. And as we make choices, we'll make them based on your word, not on our feelings. Lord, may we live our life on a higher plane than our fleshly feelings. But God, may we live our life based upon the truth of your word. I pray for these who have lifted their hands that are not sure if they die today, they go to heaven. And I pray they'll get that settled today. In Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, if you're here today,